I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Roxo Media House.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 49 today. The old gray wolf, Mike Reiner, is going to join us from his bunker in downtown Dallas. Big baseball fan. He's the one that started Globe Life Park as the temple. He named it that. But first, we're going to get into the big league team with a new manager, Tony Beasley. And things have not gone bad since he's been there. Let's go over a stat real quick. Rangers are 57-67, 10 games under 500, 6-4 in their last 10. That's Beasley. They've won the last game. Of course, they took... You know, they've won two out of the last three. They are 22 and a half games back and, of course, 10 games out of the wild card, which I guess there's mathematically still a chance, but This team's playing better.
They are, and I kind of wrote something about it the other day.
Yes.
Is it because of Beasley or is it just coincidence? And I don't know. It's probably a little bit of both. I think when you fire a guy, the players take notice that – the front office wants things moving in the right direction, and that kind of invigorates him a little bit. I mean, it's also shocking too, but so maybe there's some of that, but you know, they've played well.
Absolutely.
They've made some mistakes. They survived one of them in Minnesota, but they didn't survive the one Tuesday night in Denver. So I don't know if they're noticeably better. They're just playing well right now.
Yes. And so, I mean, look, Perez yesterday had a great game, another great game.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to, you know, not give up three runs at Coors Field, and he gave up zero in six innings. Probably could have kept going, but they had guys who needed to pitch. At the time, it was 9-0.
Sure.
Anyway, his ERA is down to 2.69. He's the first Rangers pitcher. I'm assuming the only Rangers pitcher who's going to get to 10 wins, unless I think Brock Burke is up there actually, so maybe he can get some relief W's the rest of the way, but. You know, the longer the Rangers wait, the more Perez's value is going to go up.
And if you
want to look at this year as a fluke, that's fine. But you have to take it for what it is. He's a better pitcher right now than he's ever been. And with Ray Davis stating that he wants two front end starting pitchers and a middle of the order bat, as all 30 teams in baseball want, get the one you want.
Yeah,
get the guy you have, sign him up. It's not a good market. If Martin hits free agency, his price is going to go way up.
It's going to go up.
That's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, and look, the thing is, you've got John Gray, who is a fronter of the rotation. Maybe not an ace, but he is a top two in a rotation when he's going
potentially,
right.
Yeah.
Potentially going right. With Perez, that's two. And then, obviously, everyone knows they're going to go out and try to sign one big name. They've already said they're going to. They're probably not going to spend what they did last year. But getting Perez locked up, that fortifies two pieces of that rotation. You might even go get a couple of guys this offseason. I mean, look, it never hurts to have so much depth at pitching that you don't have to worry about it
right.
if something goes down. But you're stating it right. Martin Perez's value is skyrocketing every time he goes out and goes six innings, seven strikeouts, and no runs.
Yeah, and to your point about free agency and acquiring pitching, if they want good guys, I don't like the very best guys or elite guys. I don't know that pitcher's out there in free agency. I don't know that he's available in trades because the other teams have locked him up. But I think that if they're going to get a really good pitcher this offseason, at least if they get two, let's say, at least one of them is going to be via a trade. There just aren't enough good arms out there in free agency to warrant the expense that it would cost. And if you have a surplus of prospects, which this system now does, you know, so many middle infielders at the upper levels that you don't know what to do with them, they can get you some help. And so I think that's the route that they're going to end up taking for at least one pitcher.
Adolis Garcia. I mean, what can you say? I mean, look, this is a guy that bloomed late last year. Didn't do well the second half of last year after he made the All-Star team. He's been solid. I mean, is he at 21?
21 game hitting streak, 20 homers, 20 stolen bases. He was the first player in the majors to reach 20-20.
Right.
All right. I know that stolen base is a lost art for him, but that's still pretty impressive. Mike Trout's been hurt. He probably would have been there by now.
Sure.
Ohtani, he runs like a deer. You'd think that he could get 20 bags, but he's kind of having a down year offensively.
Right.
Julio Rodriguez ended up doing it, I think, yesterday. So that's the kind of...
Simeon's close. Does he just need a stolen base?
Stolen base. That's the class of player you're talking about here. The kind of all-around talent that Garcia has. He's walked a little bit more. He's struck out a little less. He'll improve upon that from last year. But yeah, after the All-Star break, he's been really, really good. And of course, 21 game hitting streak helps. But the Rangers needed to see him improve. They really did. And he's not going to hit 31 homers like he did last year. But he's a better all around hitter right now. And you know, you throw in Nate Lowe, another player the Rangers needed
see
improve. And he's flirting with a 300 average. He hit his 20th homer, which is his
career high, right?
Career high. Every time he hits a homer, it's a career high. Those are two, that's the important thing is we lose track of things, with the firings and everything this offseason, the Rangers still needed to see guys develop.
Right.
Guys that were on the team last year. And
right.
Garcia and Lowe are at the top of the list, and I think they have developed.
I mean, you can't complain too bad with the way that, look, this team's out of it this year. I know I make the little joke about 10 games back of the wild card, but that's not going to happen. Yeah. There's too many teams in front of them, but... So to keep playing the way they're playing and see, and I'm really impressed with Lowe. I know defensively there's still some questions there going into it, but everyone kind of thought a first baseman might be someone they're looking at this offseason to maybe improve there, and they still might, but if that's the case, then they're rolling Lowe in some sort of deal to get something. But I tell you what, he's securing that job.
Yeah, and the defense – isn't good, and he works on it every day. But if you look at the defensive stats,
sure,
defensive metrics, they're an eyesore.
Yeah,
and he needs to be better. Now next year, they're trying all these minor leaguers at first base,
sure,
including Josh Jung.
Right,
I'm not saying they move him to first base full time,
right,
but there could be instances where Josh Jung plays first and Nate Lowe is the DH. Could happen with Mitch Garver too.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Because you now have basically two full time catchers,
right?
Garver and Heim, and you still have Sam Huff, and he can play first base too. So there are options there. But when you look at this team, the Rangers wanted to improve the fundamentals. That's what they said last week during all the firings,
right?
And you know,
that's a big fundamental.
The infield defense has not been good, and you know, Simeon won a Gold Glove last year, but there have been times where he hasn't been as sure-handed as you'd like.
Seager.
And Seager is 16 errors, second most by a shortstop in the majors. Lowe, we just addressed. And,
right.
You know, third base has been okay, actually. But, I mean, you know, you're used to having Adrian Beltre there.
Yeah.
So
we got spoiled there a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been 4 years, but still, that can probably be better, too. I mean, the outfield defense is very, very good when you have – when you have an outfield of Garcia, Taveras, and Bubba Thompson, balls aren't going to fall in.
No, they're not.
The catchers are very good. You know, Heim hasn't thrown well this year, but he's like tops in pitch framing. And shoot, that Valoria, he's throwing guys out left and right.
Yes.
So, and you know, Garver's knock, I guess, was his defense, and we didn't get to see a lot of it this year because of the injury. But,
right.
You know, infield and pitcher's fielding needs to be better.
Yeah, and, you know, there is conceivably a way with the way this roster, depending on what they do, they could carry three catchers in the fact that two of their catchers that they have that are at the top, first of all, you got Garver, but you've also got Huff, could both play some first base to rotate that in where they're not just guys that, why do you have three dadgum catchers there? Yeah. It makes it easier to use a DH and with one of your catchers you can DH with, especially on the right-handed side, and keep low, maybe off first base every once in a while to improve those numbers. Not that I know if Huff is that good or Garver's that good of a defensive first baseman, but it's conceivable they could do that depending on what they do in the offseason. They might carry three catchers or three guys that can catch.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, but if you have three guys who can hit major league pitching and they're all catchers and you're better, You'll find a place for them.
Sure.
And you know,
at bats for them.
And I don't know, you know, it's a tough spot if you're Sam Huff, you're in a tough spot because you're right on the cusp. You have this prodigious power, this elite power that a lot of people don't have, but you don't get a chance to apply it in the major leagues because Jonah Heim is playing so well, and then you know, Mitch Garver's gonna be there, you know. Chris Young said that they are already counting on Mitch Garver for 2023. I thought honestly he might be a non-tender candidate if he wanted to save some money and go younger with Huff or shoot, you know, Valoria even. But it'll be interesting. It'll be something that I'm sure will come up. You know, how does our roster work if we have three catchers but two of them can play first base?
And look, and that's something I've brought up, that might be something that could happen. We still don't. This offseason is going to be intriguing, to say the least. There's a lot that's going to happen. Manager's got to get hired, or they're going to make Beasley the full-time.
Yeah.
I don't think you kind of alluded to that maybe they don't do a lot with the coaching staff, depending on who it is. I mean, they've gotten some good play out of these players. I just don't think they have the talent. Right,
that's some of it. Sure, I mean, you know, you do need to be able to catch the ball.
Sure,
I mean that's important. You have to, if a ball's hit at you, you got to make the play. I mean, you don't necessarily have to go make the outstanding, unbelievable play, right?
Right.
But if it's hit at you, you got to make the play.
Sure.
And you know, Michael Young won a Gold Glove in 2008 because when the ball was hit to him at shortstop, and then, you know, people can say what they want about Michael Young's defense, he caught the dang ball and got the out. And that's...
if he could get his glove to it, Adrian Beltre did the same thing.
I mean, Adrian Beltre made outstanding
plays.
He made the terrific plays. That's why he won platinum gloves.
Yeah.
But, you know, just being reliable. If it's hit to you, you do your job. And managers will take that every day of the week.
Well, and you're right about third base being... we kind of got spoiled there. Adrian Beltre has been gone 4 years. We also had another Gold Glover at third base after Adrian, who's now with the Yankees. But, I mean, so the play at third base has been good. And the two guys playing there, Duran and Smith, that are playing there right now, have been good defensively.
Yeah,
they've been solid.
Yeah. Sure.
And so that, you know, that position, whether it's going to be Young that gets up here and takes that position over, or either one of those two, now Smith's back in the minor leagues right now, mm-hmm. I think that's just to get every day at bats. I mean, there just wasn't enough at bats here on the big league level. And so, I mean, look, there's a lot of guys on this big league team right now. Do you think that Miller's coming back?
I don't know. I mean, he can do a lot. He is a veteran. He's having a bad year. I don't know.
Injury.
I mean, they can non-tender him or, you know, just release him. I don't know if they can non-tender
Calhoun's not coming back.
No, but I mean, Brad Miller's a great guy. He's somebody you want around from that perspective.
Sure.
But yeah, it's been a disappointing year for him. I'm sure he hasn't had the steady at bats that maybe he thought he was going to get.
Right.
You know, the problem is he can play a lot of defensive positions. He just can't play a lot of them real well. You
exactly.
Know? So I don't know. But, you know, if they can't sign a left fielder, let's say, you know, if you're middle of the order bat and your mind is a left fielder and you can't sign him, they can figure out left field.
Sure.
Yeah.
And find it somewhere else. And look, Ranger fans, you might as well get over it. There is going to be either a Miller, Culberson, or someone like that on every team. There's a guy at the end of your bench who you're not worried about getting playing time,
right,
who can step in late in the game. Do you want to waste that on someone like a Bubba Thompson if he's not going to get at bats at the big league level?
Sure.
You know, or do you want a guy that can do that? And on a good team, those guys are there. They're at the end of your bench. They're not going to have flashy numbers, but they come in and fill a role. Yeah. And you know, so that someone like that's going to be on this team.
Well, and you know, Bubba Thompson does a lot of good when he's in a game.
He does.
He, you know, he's not.
I just use that as an example. I mean, right now he's earning a spot.
He's not going to be. I don't know that he's ever going to be an all-star. You know, but with what he can do with his feet and the defense, I mean, it's a pretty handy guy to have around. And the power will come. I mean, he's got to get used to the pitching and learn his swing against this pitching. But there'll be power eventually.
Sure.
Well,
he has one home run. It got get taken away.
Yeah.
Thanks to a Houston Astro cheating fan. Is that what we're doing now? So,
well, like players like fans, I guess. But, I mean, that's probably an out at every other ballpark, except maybe Fenway.
Yeah.
But,
it'd be off the wall there for sure, yeah.
Anyway, he can hit it further than that. I've seen it happen.
I have too. All right, guys. Well, listen, we got Mike Reiner's going to be joining us right now from Dallas. Then we'll go down in the bus leagues. We've got some minor leaguers to talk about. One in particular who, I don't know, maybe we're going to see him this weekend.
Maybe.
But right now, let's go to Mike Reiner. He'll be joining us in just a second after this.
So what will I do? I don't know. Maybe something, maybe nothing. We'll see. If something materializes that seems like it's going to be fun, then, as a great man said, we'll deal with that. So, until we meet again, you guys, stay hard. Keep jamming, and we'll see you.
All right, and joining us right now from Dallas, Texas, in his bunker, you know him as the old gray wolf, obviously. It's Mike Reiner, who started the ticket as a big P1. This is a big get for me. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, just ready to do a little podcasting with you boys.
Well, we appreciate you. Absolutely. I mean, this is our 49th episode, and I've told my wife, you know, hey, this week we have Josh Young or Nate Lowe or Chris Woodward, John Daniels, Tony Beasley. I told her today, Mike Reiner, she almost wet herself, man. She's excited. She started squealing. It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. Oh. So maybe she's actually going to watch it. Huh?
Shout out to Lady Jeff.
That's right. You've made my day a lot easier, I think. So, but hopefully she'll actually watch one of these. She doesn't care about baseball. Time for her to watch. Yeah.
To help you boys out any way I can.
Well, we appreciate
it. If that means making things a little smoother with you and your wife, then I'm more than happy to do that.
Hey, I mean, maybe you found a post radio gig, man. He's got his podcast going. Right. If you need a side job or something, you could do marriage counseling or something. Just show up.
I got enough side jobs, and believe me, I would be the last one to offer any sound advice on that.
All right. So how's retirement, my man?
It is great. I was really leery about it at first because I just didn't know how I would take to it. But I'm taking to it just fine. And you can count me as a very, very happy retiree.
Well, good for you. But like petty theft keeps you busy, right?
Yeah. Petty theft keeps me busy. The podcast keeps me busy. And I haven't been able to, nor have I really tried, to completely separate myself from the sports scene. I may not watch it as closely as I once did, but I do still watch it.
All right. So how much Rangers baseball are you watching?
Well, I've watched a good bit this year.
All right.
I've watched a good bit. I watched my fair share, and I can tell you a little bit about what's gone right and what's gone wrong with the thing.
Well, that was my next question. What? Give me your evaluation of the 2022 Texas Rangers.
Well, as I've told people many, many times before, what we all have to keep in mind, and what, judging from the situation of a couple of weeks ago, they seem to have lost sight of, is this is a rebuild. And rebuilds take time. Rebuilds are not easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think they are necessarily at the beginning stages of the rebuild any longer, but it's still a rebuild. They're still needing to find guys. They're still needing to get cohesion, to come up with cohesion and find guys whose games fit together. And then once they do that, they got to learn how to win.
Right.
They got to learn how to win. And when they do that, they'll be ready to compete again. But that's a lot of stuff, man. That is a lot of stuff, and it's going to take time.
The learning to win thing is legitimate. And, you know, Chris Woodward had said that since spring training. This is the year we learn how to win. And, you know, the one run record, they were 6-24 when he was fired. I mean, that's part of it. You know, this team that had no margin for error can't make mistakes. You can't be kicking balls left and right. But it's a real thing. Learning how to win is a real thing. And bringing in a ton of guys, you know, probably doesn't necessarily ensure that's going to happen. So I guess my question to you is, who do you like? Which players do you like that you think are long-term pieces?
Well, I think Nate Lowe is a long-term piece. I was not too sure about him at first. And really, there were a lot of guys at the start of the season that I just didn't know a whole lot about, but I've been very impressed with Nate Lowe. He's a pretty big-time hitter.
Yeah,
I think Brock Burke is a long-term piece. I think he is the best pitcher on this team, starter or bullpen, whatever, right now. I think he is a long-term piece. I think, I'm not sure about this yet, but I think Josh Smith could be. He needs to hit a little bit better. They need to figure out exactly what he is and where they're going to play him. But he's definitely got some skills that I like. In the near term, Adolis certainly fits. He's just a marvelous athlete all the way around. He could use a little bit more plate discipline. But I think there's a path out there for him to be a long-term piece. Those are just a few. I could probably come up with more if I thought about it, but I don't want to hog this thing.
Well, I think you hit the big ones, you know, and then we'll see what happens with Josh Young, if he's called up or not. But I think
I'd be interested in your take on that. I mean, you see him every day. You're out there with him every day. I'm not.
Yeah, no, you know, we talked about this before he came on, but the Rangers needed to see Nate Lowe and Adolis Garcia improve this year. You know, the development and the rebuilding that they talk about, it wasn't just the minor league guys. It was guys who debuted last year. And, you know, Adolis Garcia had a overall good rookie year, but his second half was not good. Nate Lowe didn't hit for a lot of power last year. They needed to see them be better players and or better hitters, at least. And they are. I mean, we talked about Nate Lowe's defense. It's not great, but those are two significant developments for this team. And you mentioned Brock Burke, who's been on our show before. You know, I don't want to make him a starting pitcher. I
don't think he wants to be a starting pitcher.
I think he'd consider it, but I think where he is just fine. And, you know, with the way baseball trends with starters going shorter, you need guys who can pitch multiple innings. And I mean, he's been one of the best relievers.
Mike's
in
right.
Baseball.
He's been lights out all year.
There's no other way to say it.
Can't argue with it.
So yeah. So I personally, I like Ezekiel Duran better than Josh Smith. But when Josh Smith's right, you know, he has to hit for power though. That's gotta be his thing. He can't come up here and just single him to death. He's gotta be able to drive the ball and hit it out. And that's something he wasn't able to do. So,
I still would like to see them try Brock Burke as a starter, just to see.
Sure.
You may be right, though. The way the game is now, the way these games are run, the way these games are managed, you've got to have serious, serious bullpen depth.
Yeah. Well, and he's in great
shape. Numbers, and you've got to have quality out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just one guy, but he certainly provides quality, and the best place for him may yet be out there. But just for the heck of it, I'd like to see him give him a shot as a starter.
Sure. I would. And they might. I mean, you know, spring training, off season, build him up. I think, what is it, John? He needs to work on his slider. Is that, he's the fastball is great in short samples, but if you get him through the lineup more than once, he's got to have something else. And so I think that's what they want him to work on. So,
yeah.
I don't know. You might be onto something. It definitely keeps coming up. All right. So based on everything we've talked about, and you mentioned the firings, do you hang blame on Chris Woodward and John Daniels for this? I mean, because this is John Daniels' plan. This rebuild is John Daniels' plan.
Uh-oh.
You there?
Hey, I'm sorry, there. I got a little wonky there for a second.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah.
Did you hear the question?
I heard him say this is John Daniels' plan.
Yeah. Do you blame Chris Woodward and John Daniels? Did they deserve what they got?
I don't think so. I thought that was a very, very knee-jerk move by whoever it is that makes those decisions. We know so little about the ownership of this thing.
Right.
Yeah, they've been silent.
I've always called them the ghostly trio because you don't see them, you don't hear from them. They're rumored to be there, but you know, if you know what they look like, then you might know them when you see them, but most people don't.
Yeah.
And no. That's just a horrible, horrible state for any sports franchise. The owner needs to be front and center. He needs to be visible when things go wrong. And I'll give Ray Davis this much credit. He did what he needed to do, and that's get out there in front of everybody and say, hey,
sure.
At the end of the day, this is on me. And sure. I'll give him that. That's the first right thing that he's done that I see since he's owned this thing.
Well,
but you know, I don't think those guys got a very fair shake.
Yeah.
I think they got the ship into the water, but once it started to take a few blows on the side, they were cast overboard. That ain't right, man.
I agree.
We both agreed on that. Yeah. I mean, look, we weren't here defending Chris Woodward or JD, but we were saying right now in what they're doing now, you can't hold Woodward accountable since he hasn't had a playoff team. It's hard to say he's the reason they're losing all the games. That was just my opinion. I don't know if he's a playoff manager. I have no clue if he is, but yeah. He doesn't have a playoff team to do that with. But they made the move. We're moving forward, and you know what? You can't sit here and dwell on it. You got to go.
No, what you said, Mike, about these guys being invisible is absolutely right. I mean, if you look at the owners of the three other major teams in our area, you know who their owners are. They're visible. These guys have never been visible, and it's curious. Ray Davis and Bob Simpson both have field level suites at the new ballpark, but they are on the complete other side, completely apart from each other. Bob is on the third base side, Ray is on the first base side, and Neil sits with Ray. So you know, I don't know how much they get along. Honestly, I mean, you never saw them, you never really see them sitting together. Bob's definitely taking a back seat. You know, when Nolan was the Nolan decision, it was Ray and Bob at the table talking about the decision and what had transpired. But you're right. I mean, ownership is the very top of the heap. I'll tell you this: last time John Daniels got an extension, he had to announce it because Ray Davis wouldn't do it, and that's just not right. The boss needs to be there, and
that's just flat out weird.
It is.
Yeah. No, it's not right. It's just flat out weird.
Sure.
Exactly.
Now, I've heard, and you can probably address this better than I, because this is just what people tell me, but some of these people are in a pretty good position to know. I've heard that Simpson is not terribly involved at all anymore. I mean, to the point of divesting himself of most of his interest in the team. I don't know where he divested it to or who's got it now. Maybe Davis took it off his hands. I don't know. But I hear he's not that he's just marginally involved, if that.
Well, and he went through a pretty drawn out, messy divorce. And there were rumors, you know, is he going to have to sell part of his ownership stake in the settlement? And I guess you never know how rich these guys are, depending on how they hide their investments and their money. But, I mean, that's a possibility. But Ray Davis has slowly but surely through the years been buying out the original ownership group. So he, you know, whereas when the sale went down, it was close to an even split on who owned what. But now Ray Davis has a significantly larger share, the largest share. And I think that's...
Well, and I'll say this. I've only been credentialed in covering the team for 4 years. Mm. I've only ever seen Neil or Ray stand down there by the dugout every once in a while when we're out there for batting practice or whatever. I've never seen Bob.
Yeah.
Not in the 4 years that I've done it.
Well, he's a wildcatter oil man at heart, and I know that he's been buying up a lot of properties in West Texas. But he is noticeably withdrawn from the proceedings, from what I can tell. So I think your sources have served you well there.
Yeah. Now, Neil, I wouldn't know him if I saw him, period.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen as much as a picture of him.
Sure.
But I don't have a media guide for this year either. So,
well, see if John Blake can send you one finally. Let's see. So as this ship moves forward, Mike, what would you like to see this team do this offseason?
Well, there's always the age of when are they going to spend some money and get some pitching in here?
Yeah.
There's always that.
Right.
It hangs over this team's head like an albatross. They're good, but not great at several positions on the field. There are several that I think if they get a chance to retrench and get better at, then they ought to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
But the main thing, I think the main thing for them is some way, somehow continue the development of the young guys, Ezekiel Durans that you mentioned a minute ago and guys like that. I mean, there are a lot of people who could have told you who that guy was, you know, Glenn Otto's another, continue his development.
Yeah.
I think some of these guys have a chance to turn into pretty good players. Duran is one. I didn't like Otto too much at first, but I'm coming around on him now. Huh. He's had some reasonably nice outings as of late. But the young players on this team need to continue to be developed. Now, I don't know if that means going down there to spring training, just working their ass off, or whether you just run them out there that way that you do and just let them play, let them get experience, let them get at bats, let them get innings, let them get game time. And work with them around those things. Get them in there in the video room and say, look what you did here. It's really good. You need to do more of that. You know, that type of thing. Or tell them what they did wrong, whichever the case may be.
Chew a little ass.
It's just a constant ongoing process. And I don't know if there's really too much that they're going to be able to do that's going to, you know, produce any kind of difference-making results overnight. And if that's your case, I guess what I'm saying is if you don't think you can contend next year, and right now, I don't know about you boys, but I don't see any way that's happening.
No, I agree with that.
If you don't think you can, then continue along the developmental path. You know, play these guys, run them out there, see if they can learn how to win, see if they can learn how to win together, like I was saying a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they can do that, then that will speed things up quite a bit.
Well, I think confidence, you know, these guys can be super talented and come up from the minor leagues and then immediately start looking over their shoulder. I think that one thing it's worked in the past, you just come up and you say, you're the starting center fielder.
Yep.
Like in Leody Taveras' case. They did it with They did it with Nelson Cruz when he came up at the end of 2008, and look what happened to him. Those guys stopped looking over their shoulders, and they're relaxed. When you're relaxed, you're confident, you know you have a job the next day, you're in the lineup, and you go out and you hit and play like you played all through the minor league. So there's a lot to that. I agree with you. I know they keep saying 2023 we're going to contend.
They're going to have to spend a lot of money in some of these
very
kids.
Very loose contention. I just don't see it until 2024, honestly, because you know the farm system didn't develop enough, I don't think, this year. And if you know Ray Davis said he's not going to spend as much money as he did last year, well, all right, then you're gonna go with what you got.
Yep.
You know, you might get one piece or two, but you're not gonna become.
I think that's an excellent point you made about how these guys have to, you know, they're young guys and everything. A lot of them are new to this great land of ours, and that's a very, very shaky proposition for some of those guys. And some of them are having to look over their shoulder, and that's very uncomfortable for them.
Absolutely.
And I do think that if you can find some that you see something in that makes you believe in them, and you have enough confidence in them to run them out there every day, no matter what, sooner or later, they'll get the message that, hey, I'm all right here. I'm a part of this team. I'm going to be a part of this team.
Yeah.
So let me just go out there and play. I made a couple mistakes today and they pointed them out to me, but it was no big deal. I'm going to be in the lineup the next day. And that is how you, that's how you start to develop chemistry and start to develop confidence in these guys.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. I know John's got some questions for you. So John,
I'm geeking out with the, you know, I was a day one P1. I mean, I'm a big ticket fan, and Mike grew up and went to high school where my dad went to high school.
Is that right?
They are both Kimball graduates. Now, were you born and raised in Oak Cliff, or did you just get there later, or what's the deal there?
No, I was born and raised there. When I got brought home from the hospital for the very first time, it was over in Cedar Crest.
All right.
Oh, yeah, Cedar Crest. I've played that golf course many times, and I know that neighborhood. My dad played. In fact, my dad was playing Cedar Crest Golf Course. He was a senior in high school when President Kennedy was shot.
Oh, my gosh.
And a police officer came up and told them, hey, the president just got – they had all gotten out of school to go see the president. Well, him and his buddies went and played golf.
Well, you know, the day – this is kind of bad, but the day of 9/11, I was in Colorado, and I played golf, and we were at the – It had all kind of started to happen, and we were there in the pro shop, and one of the towers fell, and we're like, well, should we go home? And the guy was like, well, there's nothing we can do about it. So we went out and played golf.
Got another 9 in? I mean, I know. That was a wild day altogether. Now, let me ask you this. So you're a huge sports fan. Did you play any sports? I know you're into music. You played a lot of music. You've been in bands. Did you play any sports growing up?
I was never any good. I don't have the athletic gene coming from anywhere. I played them all, but I had, there were limited things in each one that I could do and that I was good at. I was always good at throwing. I was always good catching. As far as being able to hit a baseball, I couldn't do that to save my ass. And when I was in junior high, I weighed about, 112 pounds or so. So that eliminated the ball for me.
All right.
So, No, my athletic feats are very, very limited.
Well, let me ask you this, because, I mean, look, you had strong opinions all in your ticket days. You were a big sports fan all around. But for me, as an outsider, you seemed to be gravitated. It seemed like baseball was your biggest love, and you loved baseball. Is that true?
Well, we lost the feed a little bit. Are you talking to me about baseball? Baseball is my favorite.
Let me say that again. When, as an outsider listening to the ticket, you had your opinion on every sport that was playing in there, but as someone listening, you seem to gravitate towards baseball as kind of your first and your biggest love. Was that true? Was baseball your biggest love?
There's no doubt. Yes, still is. It's the first sport that I really got into, although I was into all of them. Once I got into baseball, I got into the other two. But baseball came first for me. It's the one that I know the most about. It's the one that I've always been most captivated by. It's the one that I've always tried to learn the most about. And I guess the best way to put it is to say that it's just the one that I've been most drawn to. But I love them all.
So, but like, who are your favorite players growing up? Who grabbed your attention?
Roberto Clemente is probably my favorite player of all time, because back then we had limited baseball on TV.
Right.
Came on the weekends. There was the CBS game of the week, and NBC also carried a game up against it. And one of the games usually featured whoever the Yankees were playing, but
yeah,
the Pittsburgh Pirates were on TV an inordinate amount of the time back then. I saw Roberto Clemente play quite a bit, and I don't think I ever saw a game that I did not act in some way.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. I would watch a game, and I would, at the end of it, say, okay, why did that game turn out the way it did? What mattered in that game? If Roberto Clemente was out there, he mattered. He did something that mattered. Got a hit, made a play in the football aisle because he had an incredible arm. He just made it matter in some way. And he did the whole thing looking like he was really in pain the entire time.
Well, so let me ask you this. So the Rangers come to town. You're out of high school. You're a young guy then, probably in college. Were you immediately a Ranger fan?
Oh, yeah. It was a great day when we finally had Major League Baseball here. You know, I wished kind of that we would have had an expansion team, but could have started like from the ground up, like the Cowboys did, like the Mavericks did. I think that's the ideal way for any locality to absorb a sport or a team, is to, you know, grow with it from the ground up. But that's not the way it rolled for baseball here. So, okay, we have baseball here. I'm definitely on board. And Ted Williams is manager. I love him too.
So Jeff didn't get here till after the Temple was born. And that's my next question about the Temple. I've been going to games since 1974. I was 7 years old. So I lived through all the old horrible days of Ranger baseball. But to me, it was like a cathedral. What was behind naming it the Temple? Just because we finally had a real stadium? I mean, I started calling it that after you did. You named Globe Life Park the Temple, and it stuck. What was it? It was because you had been in those horrible press boxes at the old stadium, or what was it?
Back then, as it was going up, I don't know if they did this for the new place. I don't think they did, but I don't know. Jeff could probably address that better than me. But they offered us media availabilities, mm-hmm. where they would get architects and engineers. And if you wanted to, you could go over there and they'd take you down on the field and tell you what they were doing and tell you how it was going to be. And I was really intrigued by that. But something inside of me said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go into that place until it's time for you to watch actual baseball. And that is what I did. For once, I listened to my heart, as it were, and it told me what to do. And I didn't go in there until it was time to watch actual baseball. And the first time I went in there, I was with Junior Miller and a couple of the other guys from the ticket. And we were walking to wherever it was we were supposed to go, the press box or, wherever they had us. And I was lagging behind everybody else because I was just like this, like, can't believe this.
Yeah.
And they kept having to say, hey, come on, lagging behind. And we got up to the press box and said, you look like a 5-year old when you were walking up here looking at all that stuff.
That's pretty good.
And from that, somewhere along the line, we were talking about it and somebody mentioned the ballpark, and I said, man, this is no ballpark. This is a temple. This is a hallowed shrine to the great game of baseball. And I just started calling it that, and somehow it got out there into Gen Pop.
There you go. To answer your question, they did offer tours or media availabilities. We couldn't do it whenever we wanted, whenever they had something to announce.
Yeah.
I probably went in that place, the new place, 10, 12 times before it opened.
Yeah, I went in a couple.
For baseball. But it was interesting, in 90, when it was being built, was the beginning, kind of the beginning of the Star Telegram Morning News newspaper war over the mid cities, and both papers had Globe Life Park or Ballpark in Arlington beat writers. That was their job for a year and a half, was to cover the construction of the ballpark. And of course, very big.
It was huge for us that had been going for years and years to see. I remember going in. I went to opening day. When I walked in, Mike, I was just like you. I mean, I was 24, 25 at the time. I was like, holy geez, this is fantastic. Because I had sat in those bleachers out in the outfield. I mean, hey, look, it was cheaper. I used to go with a $10 bill, and I'd have a beer, two beers, a seat, and I could leave in the seventh inning, and I still have $2 in my pocket.
Wow.
I mean, that's how cheap it used to be sitting out there. Oh, it was great. Now, do you have a name for Globe Life Field yet, or is that you just haven't got the feel for it?
No, I don't have a feel for it yet. That's probably going to fall to somebody else. I'm not in the game anymore, so I can't force whatever I want the name to be off on the rest of the masses. So that's probably going to fall to somebody else.
How do you like it?
Well, you know, when you look at the entire spectrum of it and the entire picture, it exists for one reason and one reason only. And that is to make right the one thing that they didn't do at the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is put a roof on it.
Yep.
You know, yeah, they were very smart to do it when they did, because they had the stomach for the fight to sit out there for 3.5 hour baseball games when it's 104 degrees at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
They just don't have the fight for that.
Right.
So, yep. Given those two things, if it has to be, and apparently it does, it has to be, I think they did a damn good job of it. I like the place.
Yeah. And, you know, the way this team's playing now and the way season's unfolded, they've had sellout crowds or crowds 30 plus that they just wouldn't have had at the old place if there wasn't a roof on it. If people were going to come in and sweat,
oh, geez.
People will come and watch a team as long as they don't have to sweat.
Oh, God, I've been going since, I've been going since 74, and I'm telling you right now, people don't understand, Sunday was a no-go. I had kids at the time that were small. There's no way I was going in a Sunday afternoon game during the middle of the summer. It was just too damn hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just murderous. And, you know, global warming's taking effect. The ground and the earth and the planet is getting hotter and hotter. And people just don't have the stomach for the fight for it anymore. I don't blame them. I don't know if I do either. But now you don't have to worry about it.
Well, and one other thing about this place, they had two concerts this week, right? They had like Def Leppard and Poison, and then the next night they had Lady Gaga. I mean, it's not a baseball park. I mean, it is in my mind, but it is a 365 day a year. Show me how much money you want to give me for this to use our place, and that's what it is.
Yeah, they're taking some of Jerry's money.
Yeah, they are. They're
taking some of Jerry's money over there.
No, I've got no problem with that. I've got no problem with them having concerts or whatever in there.
Sure.
Yeah. It's a place where the Rangers play. That doesn't mean that it has to be all that goes on there.
Sure.
It is kind of weird, though, with the temple still standing in the background.
You know, I went and watched some playoff football there last couple of years. It is strange. It's cooler because it's in the fall when you're doing it, and it's playoff football, but it is really weird sitting in what used to be left field and you're up in the stands. You know, that's just – it is kind of strange.
All right.
So listen, we're going to let you get out of here. I wanted to ask you a question that we've asked every guest. Look, we know a lot about Mike Reiner. We know that you started the ticket. We know that you named the temple. We know that Stevie Ray Vaughan used to go to dinner with you back before that tragedy happened. We know a lot of fun things, but we ask everyone, our guest, what is one thing nobody knows about you? We've had some great answers that you may not know. John Daniels has lucky underwear he wears on airplanes. He takes two pair of underwear with him that he wears on the plane and on back, and he said it's been good luck. Look what's happened so far.
Should have worn them last week.
Brock Burke, we're the ones that found out. I don't know if you know about Brock Burke and his sleepwalking. That's a big deal. He sleepwalks bad. And
I heard about that last week.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. Oh my God, he freaks out. You ought to talk to some of his minor league roommates. They say he's weird. What is something that nobody knows about Mike Reiner?
Okay, I'll dig into the John Daniels toy chest here.
Okay.
And I'll tell you that I have an underwear rotation.
Nice.
And it's the same ones, like you got seven pair and that's the seven pair that go every week?
No, I've got more than seven pair, but I have an underwear rotation. There are certain pairs that are only, well, I mean, every pair is only worn on a certain day.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Like so what day is today?
I've got about four or five pair of Thursday underwear, and I got one of them on right now.
All right.
That is interesting. Well, listen, Mike, look, this has been great. I mean, I can't tell you how much it meant for me to have you stop down and do this for us. We love The Dark Companion, guys. If you haven't seen that, it's over on Vocally. What is that actually? You just talk a bunch of different, you've had different guests and different venues. It's been pretty neat.
Yeah, it's just essentially a bull session. I get people that I find interesting or people that know something about that I want to find out more about, get them in there and talk to them.
Nice.
It's cool. It's very cool.
Like one thing I've always that's always been a real pet peeve of mine in sports is franchise relocation. And here's the fun reindeer game for you boys. Name an American city that has not had a team either move to it or from it.
One of the big cities?
Hockey in this.
Okay.
And well, also include the ABA.
Yeah.
And you can't find many.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Just off the top of my head, I'm from Denver, so I was thinking Denver. And then when you said hockey, I was like, well, that doesn't count.
Yeah, yeah. Denver comes close because all three of theirs are original, but the hockey team is not.
Right.
But
right.
And they had an original hockey team.
Yeah.
The Colorado Rockies.
They come really close.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
But
I'm going to have to think about that one.
I would think St. Louis, but then the Rams moved away. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had the last guy from Minnesota who's still with the Stars on the podcast yesterday.
Okay.
And I started talking to him about just what it's like for people in the front office, people on the staff, all that, when they find out that the team is moving and what happens to them. Some of them get to go, some of them don't. What happens to the ones that don't? What are things like for the ones who do? And we just had a conversation about that because that's something I'm interested in.
That's very interesting.
What can I tell you?
All right, that's the one I'm going to listen. Is it already up yet, or you just taped it yesterday?
It'll be up in a couple of days.
Okay.
It's kind of ours. Hopefully, ours will be out later tonight. If not, it'll be tomorrow. We'll tag you on Twitter. Make sure you get it out there and share it.
Yeah.
Yes, but yeah, I will share it.
Awesome.
Yeah, Mike, listen, it's been great. Thanks again for coming on with us. That's Mike Reiner, the old gray wolf, former from The Ticket. Now he's with
retirement.
The retirement and the dark companion. Mike, thanks a lot, buddy.
Ruxo Media House is a streaming and production company located in Fort Worth, Texas. From video to podcast production and social media broadcasting, Ruxo Media House strives to deliver a dynamic media experience for clients and fans. With 15 shows, we have something for the whole family. Join the Ruxo Media community today.
All right, that was Mike Reiner, the old gray wolf. Thanks, Mike, for joining us there. It's time we need to go down in the bus leagues and talk about the minor league system, who are going into their last month. This is about to all end. Of course, we're going to start down at Down East, which is low A. They're 59 and 57 overall, 26 and 24 their last here in the second half. They're 6 and 4 in their last 10. They've lost three in a row. These are the babies. Max Acosta.
Yeah, he's had a nice surge here. He made an adjustment. He went to a toe tap, which is what he used to do.
Did Josh Hamilton do that?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
But the way it was explained to me was that by doing that, he's now stepping straight at the pitcher instead of maybe a little bit in the bucket, a problem that 10-year-old Henry Wilson has. And the power's increased. It's just all increased. So, remember, Acosta in 2019, in the class with with Byron Lara, who signed for the bigger money, but Acosta has always been regarded as the better player. And he's, you know, he had some injury issues. He was hurt last year, had to have thoracic outlet syndrome surgery, but he's showing something right now.
Good. And hey, he always thought of one of the top shortstop prospects in the system. He's had some people pass him up. He needed this to break out. He's also young. Hickory, that's high A. Hickory, they're 62 and 54 overall, 24 and 26 in the second half, 7-3 in their last 10. They've lost a game. I noticed that Hickory's, one of their star players, was in Frisco last
night. Yeah, yeah.
So what happened to Aaron Carter?
Evan Carter.
What is Aaron Carter?
He's an actor or something.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. Okay. Well, you know where my head is.
Anyway, Evan was in Frisco, and I was there waiting to talk to some players, and lo and behold, there's Evan Carter, and you think, hey, it looks like somebody's getting promoted, but alas, he was in town. He had hurt his leg, something on his leg the other day in a rundown at Hickory, and so they just brought him in to see a doctor, and everything checked out fine, so he's already back in Hickory. He turns 20 on Sunday. The 28th is his 20th birthday. As a 19-year-old, he's just having a stellar season.
Oh my gosh!
And he can do it all. You know, he actually has double digit triples. That kind of tells you that A, he hits the ball a long way. He can outrun a lot of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see him next year. I'm sure. Double A at the start and then see how it goes. But a player of the year candidate in the Rangers system. And, you know, right now, a lot of people think he's their top prospect.
I got to tell you right now, and he's going to fill out. This is a 19-year-old kid, and I know I started filling out at 22, 23 years old. And you see how skinny he is. We've seen him. I mean, he's a thin guy. That doesn't mean he's going to stay thin. That just means he hasn't matured yet. And when that fills out, he's already got some power.
Yeah.
This is a talented guy, man. Yeah. This is going to happen. All right, let's go to Frisco. They're the double A team. Frisco, 61 and 54 overall, 25 and 21 in the second half. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They've lost a game. You were out there last night. Leiter, one of his better outings that he's had.
Yeah, I did not stay for the game. I had another commitment I had to go to. So I'm just looking at the line score, and it looked good. He has been better. You know, I think he's made a mechanical adjustment, but I also think that he's maybe done some things like he's learned from his hiccups and he's had maybe a better pitch selection.
His curveball seems to be back.
Attacking a little bit more, more competitive in the strike zone, that kind of thing. So, this is really, when you think about it, when's the last time he had to pitch or he had to navigate a lineup? You know, the SEC lineups are good, but
they're not double A lineups.
You know, a guy who this is an example that's come up. I'm not going to mention any names, but a pitcher who Leiter has faced this year batted third for his college team and now bats eighth. So that kind of tells you, Leiter was like, I had to get that guy out.
Right.
In college, and now I've got to get him. Now he bats eighth, and I've got to get him all out.
You got to get everybody ahead of him too.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So it's just learning how to navigate a little bit. And I think
the strikeout numbers are still impressive for his innings.
Sure. And I think when you look back at everything, this year is going to be a good foundational piece.
Absolutely,
he got through it healthy. I know he was on the IL, but that was just for shoulder fatigue. He's going to finish strong, and that's
rolling into next that's not year. Bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make excuses for the guy because runs are his, but. Like apparently, all of his inherited runners score. It's not as bad as it looks if you talk to people who really follow it closely.
Sure.
But it's still, he doesn't have a 2 ERA like I'm sure a lot of people thought he would.
Yeah, so. Everyone thought he was going to come out here with and never give up a run and strike out everyone and no one would ever get a hit. I mean that's when you're the second overall pick, they do that. Yeah. This guy, look, and he's got a foundation of a dad that knows how to. He's had guys, uncle, cousin. He's had people that have been talking.
Best friend or real good friend who's now in the system.
That's now in the system. Yeah, so how about Zavala? People are sleeping on Zavala. This guy, I mean, he's already been disciplined at the plate. We've seen that from when he started the first year to really be out in pro ball and be out in there. I mean, he has had great at bats for Frisco. He just this guy, he may be in the big leagues next year.
It's not out of the question. He
He's a college guy, so let me get that straight. He's not 19. Sure. He's a college guy, so he's a...
Well, and he's very confident in himself. You know, we talked about this in April and May. He was hitting below 200, but his on-base percentage was above 300.
Right.
And so you just kind of figured that at some point everything's going to catch up with itself, and that's what he figured. He said he didn't change anything. He didn't start chasing hits. He might have been a little unlucky, but he knew in a long season that everything was going to even out, and it has. And his OPS is 899. this is Thursday. You know, a 900 OPS season is remarkable.
Yeah, really good.
And
and he's not doing it at an A. He's a double A. I mean, right. So he's in the upper level. This is where... Yeah,
I mean, his OPS has gone up since he's been a double A.
Absolutely.
And a lot of that is pitchers are, believe it or not, pitchers being better and umpires conversely being better is helping him because if he takes a ball, it's probably a ball.
Right.
And whereas in Hickory, it may not be. And these pitchers attack more and they throw more strikes and they do it with multiple pitches. That's fine. But he knows where the strike zone is and where the balls are. And so I think that actually is going to help him as he goes up in level.
Right.
The better the pitchers and the better the umpires, the more strikes, the better chance he's going to have.
And when he hits the ball and it's a strike, he hits it hard.
Yeah.
And so so he's selective at the plate. He's not up there just hacking. He's selective. But when he hits it solid. When he really gets, he is able to hit it solid. Justin Foscue.
Yeah. Another guy I talked to yesterday. He's in the background there. He's a top 100 prospect in baseball.
Now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like it's a quiet year, you know, but, you know, the power hasn't necessarily been there. He's up to, I think, 10 home runs, but his OPS is 832. He's walking more, striking out less. And if a bad year is an 832 OPS, because he's not happy, if what he considers 832 to be a bad year, when it's going, it's going to be really good. And, you know, he's a confident guy. I think would be capable of 25 to 30 homers when all is well. And
he's a 20 home run guy.
And all he's done is he made a little adjustment in his swing. But he said he's been on pitches all year. He was just missing them. So, boatload of doubles. If he hits, you'll find a place for him.
Absolutely. Well, from there, let's go. Anybody else? We get up to Triple A.
Triple A. Go ahead.
Yeah, we get up to Round Rock. Round Rock 63-56 overall. By the way, guys, you look at all these overall numbers. Every minor league team, including the Arizona Complex
and the Dominican,
they are all winning.
Yeah.
Every one of them. The only team not winning is the major league level, and they've won six out of ten starting Beasley. And I'm not playing that on Woody, guys. I'm still not going to do that. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They won one, but AAA. There's a guy on the AAA team, right there, who may not be on the AAA team soon, and maybe tomorrow.
Well,
who knows?
It would make sense.
I'm ready for him to be there.
Yeah, I think everybody is. I think the Rangers might be too, but they're the ones in charge.
Yep.
This is a long-term piece. I know that he's had injuries and they should have been in the majors last year. Should have been the opening day third baseman this year if we're being honest.
Yep.
But, you know, they want to make sure he is checked off physically, whatever they're saying, you know. And if you bought into the service time manipulation, great. That's over and done with.
He'll be a rookie going into next year, no matter what.
There are two opportunities to do it on this homestand. This is Thursday. The Rangers are off today. They open with three tomorrow against Detroit. Off day two against Houston. I would think it would happen one of those 2 days,
right?
Or one of those two series. You know, by the time we shoot this next podcast, he may be in the major leagues. We have something different to talk about. But you don't want to wait until the next homestand, because the next homestand starts September 7th, let's say, or September 9th. I think it's the 9th against Toronto. You know, but you do want him to open at home.
Sure.
And if you're counting tickets, you definitely want him to open at home, because I think Josh Young's debut would sell some tickets.
I think it would too. If they do it, it's probably going to come down pretty quick. They're going to announce that he's coming, because I think there is a chance for people to buy tickets and come out and see him play. Or it does for the Saturday night game. Only other guy really kind of interesting down there has been Dallas Keuchel, who's doing exactly what they needed him to do. He has depth down there, but he's been impressive. He's been okay.
Yeah, the Rangers have named Friday starter Glenn Otto, but nothing for the weekend. And I would be, I expect Dallas Keuchel to make a start either Saturday or Sunday.
They got nothing to lose with that guy coming up here and taking a start. If he gets rocked like he has everywhere else, they're out nothing but minor league minimum. They can DFA him, put him back out. So is he a free agent at the end of this year, no matter
what?
He
is, yeah.
So, you know, why not? See, because if he can turn it on and go through September and have an ERA somewhere around 3 or something like that, maybe it's somebody you can, but it'd have to be a good deal. I don't think they're going to spend a lot of money on Dallas Keuchel.
No, you'd have to throw like 2 no-hitters, I think.
And still, you can't trust that. I mean, this guy's getting up there in age, but it's an interesting name to watch.
It is, and again, I think he pitches this weekend.
Absolutely, that could be it. Well, guys, that's it. Anything else before we get out of
here? No, I mean we haven't mentioned throughout all of this. Subscribe to Rangers Today, $5.99 a month, $60 for a year, $35 for 6 months.
If you just want the off season for $35 bucks, it's going to be an interesting off season.
Yeah, so go ahead and do that, and then also. You know, we need you to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yep.
We're doing good.
Hit the button down there.
Yeah. Yeah. Just hit it. It takes like 1 second. Bang.
Tell your friends, tell your Ranger fans, friends, anybody to subscribe to the YouTube channel, to also Rangers Today. This is so cheap, $5.99 a month and $60 for the year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a one-time $60 payment and you're done for the year. That's good.
Yeah. And it's cheaper than any other outlet.
Absolutely.
Any other outlet.
And it's nothing but Ranger stuff. And, guys, we've got some good people coming up on this show in the next few weeks anyway. And that's what the show is. We've had minor leaguers, major leaguers, front office. Today we had a personality who is a huge baseball fan, Reiner. That was enjoyable. So, guys, that's it for this one. Till next time, we'll see you at the yard.
Roxo Media House.